بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, dear guests, my dear young friends, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. For most of us, the last few months have been very different. So during the summer, the children were out of school. You know, it was hot. It still is to some extent. The days were long. The nights were very short. Ramadan was a change for our bodies and for our schedules. But now, all of a sudden, we find that all of that change, all of that pressure has suddenly been released. And Ramadan is over, and now we are in the month of Shawwal. Shawwal has something special as well. Ramadan, of course, was the most special month of the year of the Islamic calendar. Yet Shawwal, the month that follows the month of Ramadan, has something special as well. And the Prophet ﷺ has told us about immense reward for a person who, after fasting the month of Ramadan, also fasts for 6 days in the month of Shawwal. This is not obligatory. This is a sunnah. This is something that is recommended, something that is good. And the Prophet ﷺ has told us that by fasting 6 days in the month of Shawwal, you can actually end up fasting for the entire year. Now, when people hear this, they get a bit confused because they say, the month of Ramadan is so valuable, you fast for the entire month, and then now you're telling me that I can fast 6 more days and it's going to be like I fasted the whole year. Like, what are you talking about? How it works is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us that all of our good deeds are multiplied by 10 times. So if you fasted for the month of Ramadan, right, it's like we fasted for 10 months because it's multiplied by 10 times. Then if you fast for 6 more days in the month of Shawwal, right, you multiply that by 10, that's like fasting for 60 days, which is 2 months. So you add the 10 months reward that you get by fasting in the month of Ramadan, 10 months worth. And then 6 days in the month of Shawwal, worth 2 months of fasting. So therefore, by fasting through the month of Ramadan and adding 6 days of fast in the month of Shawwal, it's as if you have fasted for the entire year. Now these 6 fasts can be done at any time during the month of Shawwal. They don't have to be done at the beginning. You can actually fast on the first day of Shawwal, which is the day of Eid. It's actually prohibited. It's haram to fast on that day. But following that, you can fast on any 6 days in the month of Shawwal. They could be 6 days together. They could be 6 days, you know, 1 day apart, one after another, or you know, 2 in the first week, and then you know, 4 later on in the rest of the month. It doesn't matter how you break it up. Now, at this point, we find ourselves at the end of Ramadan. Ramadan being over, we're also finding that summer is also over, right? Well, I mean, technically it's still there, but in terms of summer holidays, summer is over, and we find ourselves in September. So we find ourselves going back into a routine. For some students, it will be a new routine, perhaps a new school, perhaps going to university for the first time, new classes, a new schedule, so on and so forth. And at work as well, everyone gets serious now, right? Because during the summer, people are taking holidays, people are taking time off, productivity comes down a bit. Now you know you're getting back into the routine, you're getting back into September, and things are going back to full efficiency now. And one of the things that we will be doing is that we will be creating schedules, right? So we'll be figuring out times, especially for students. So what time to leave for home, from home for work, for students will be for school, or for others as well, what time to leave home for work, you know, when to catch the bus, when to catch the bus back home, you know, what sort of activities do you want to do on certain days, and so on and so forth. And this is very important. This is very important. This process of going through figuring out a schedule and making sure that we use our time wisely is very important. Because time has been described like capital that is diminishing. Time is like capital that is diminishing. So with every breath, every second that goes by, you lose the opportunity to invest that time into something useful. With every breath, every second that goes by, We lose the opportunity to invest that time into something useful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, very short surah, we all know, wal 'asr innal insana lafi khusr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by the time. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by something, it means that it's something actually very important. Right? It's actually something important, something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to take note of. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by the time, and He says, man is indeed in a state of loss. Human beings are indeed in a state of loss. The actual currency of human beings is time. Right? We like to think of money, dollars, cents, right? But the actual currency of human beings is time. And it will lead to loss because it's constantly being diminished. It will lead to loss because inherently it's constantly being diminished. Right? Is there anyone here who's actually gaining time in their lives? Is there anyone in the world who's actually gaining time in their lives? No. The moment we are born, we're losing time. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed, has already decided when our time will be over. When the bell will ring and we'll have to go inside. Right? And you could use a number of different analogies. Okay? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already decided that in the moment you enter this world, the countdown begins. The countdown begins, the clock is ticking down, except you don't know when it's going to stop. So constantly, our time is being diminished. And therefore, it is going to lead us into loss. You know, what I tell people is, two things you need to be careful about overspending on. Okay, two things, I mean, you should generally be careful about how you spend your money, because this is something you're accountable for with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But two things you really want to be careful about how much you spend on: cars and computers. Okay? Cars and computers. Why? Because they will almost never increase in value. Okay? Unless you're like a collector and you're buying a car to, you know, keep it as an antique and so on, that's different. But generally, cars, computers, two things never going to increase in value. Right? So for example, when I was a kid, we had a Pentium 233 computer. You know, back in those days it was a big thing to have a Pentium, right? It cost like $2,000. A few years later, no one even wanted it for free. Right? You try to put ads on Kijiji and, you know, somebody come, please take this computer, it's rotting in the basement. Nobody wants it. Right? So in a matter of years, right, this computer went from costing around $2,000 to being worth practically nothing. Same thing with a car, right? The moment you drive it off the lot, if you buy a new car, the moment you drive it off the lot, the value has decreased. As you increase the mileage on the car, or even if you just keep it in your lot, the value is not going to increase. The value is going to continually decrease. The value is going to drop. So if you're investing in these things for returns, if you want to invest, and if you want to get a good return, these are the last places where you want to be investing your money. Similarly, the human being's time is a source of loss as well, because it's always diminishing, it's always going down. Even if you use it, right? If you use it, and if you use it in an unwise way, if you use it in a way which is not productive, then it's a source of loss for you. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. So mankind indeed is in a loss, except for, so there's an exception here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us a way out. How can we not, or how can we stay away from the loss that comes from time, the losing of time? How do we protect that? By believing and doing righteous deeds. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, except those who believed and did righteous deeds. وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ, and exhorted, right, asked, commanded each other to follow the truth, and exhorted each other to observe patience. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that if you want to protect yourself from the loss of time, then these are the ways that you can do it. So for example, going back to the computer and the car, if you can use the computer, or if you can use the car, which is going to lose its value, but if you can use it for reaching greater heights, you know, in your education, in your work, in your business, for example, then yes, it's worth the investment, right? If it serves a purpose, if you can do something, if you can use it in a way that it helps you move ahead, then okay, no one's going to say that this was a loss in terms of an investment, right? So you can turn something which is losing its value, right, which can be a loss when it comes to, which can be a loss when it comes to investment, turn it around and use it for something beneficial. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also giving us the secret to turn around the inherent loss in time into something beneficial and something useful. And again, this is to believe, to do good deeds, call people to the truth, and call people to patience. So therefore, the point of all of this is that ideally when we make our schedules, right, when we're making our schedules, figuring out how we're going to spend our day once school starts, once we go back to work, we want to allocate as much time as possible to these four things. So when we create our schedules, we want to allocate as much time as possible to these four things. And this is important because time is a precious commodity when you think of the opportunity costs of lost time. Right? So opportunity cost of money is if you have money sitting in your bank account and you're not doing anything with it, right, the amount of money you could have made by investing it somewhere, by putting it somewhere else. In the same way, the lost opportunity cost of time is what you could have done with your time to gain something out of benefit from it. All the things that you could do with your time that would be beneficial. There's a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ where he said, نِعْمَتَانِ مَغْبُونٌ فِيهِمَا كَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ. There are two blessings in which most people are in a great loss. There are two blessings in which most people, كَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ, right? In which most people are in a great loss, and these are الصِّحَة وَالْفَرَغ. And these are good health. Most people are in a loss when it comes to this. Good health and free time. We end up wasting it. We end up using it in ways which are not productive. When we have the time, you know, we end up killing time. When we have the health, we use our health in things that are not productive. And then when our time is finished, right, when we find ourselves busy all of a sudden, when our health has gone down, then we wish, oh, you know, I wish I would have used it for something more productive. So we need to be conscious of the importance of the opportunities we lose when we don't value time. Right? Every time we don't value time, we end up losing some opportunities, and we need to be conscious of this. Our pious predecessors were very conscious about their time. Very, very conscious about their time. It's not something that they would just waste like this. Imam Ghazali rahimahullah says, each of your breath is like a priceless jewel. Each of your breath is like a priceless jewel. Since each of them is irreplaceable. Since each of them is irreplaceable. And once gone, it can never be retrieved. Right? So the sisters would know this, right? So if somebody has a precious ring, a precious, you know, wedding ring or some sort of precious diamond, and it's something, you know, that you value very much, you keep it safe. Right? You keep it safe. You don't want to lose it. You don't want to be careless with it so that, you know, it falls one day and then gets eaten up by the vacuum cleaner or something like that, right? You want to be very careful about your jewels, about your precious diamonds. So Imam Ghazali rahimahullah is telling us that each breath is like that, because once it's gone, you can't get it back. And it cannot be replaced. Describing their care for time, right? The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and those who followed them, Hassan al-Basri rahimahullah says, I saw those people and how they were more careful about their time than about their dirhams and dinars, so their money. So they were more careful when it came to their time than they were about their money. Right? Money they would give away in charity and they wouldn't be as careful, but when it came to time, they were especially careful when it came to preserving their time. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would divide his 24 hours, right, when he was under normal circumstances, when he was at home, he would normally divide his day, 24 hours. That's a lot of hours if you think about it, right? That's a lot of hours. If somebody put you in a room for 24 hours, that's a lot of hours, right, that you can use. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would divide his 24 hours into three parts, ideally. One for rest, relaxation, one for worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one for caring for one's family. So when we look at our schedules, that's something to keep in mind as well. How can we wisely, nicely divide up our time so that we don't end up wasting our time? Imam Ghazali rahimahullah again, he says, you should not neglect your time or use it haphazardly. On the contrary, you should bring yourself to account. Structure your devotions and other practices during each day and night. Have a schedule. Have a schedule for all your acts of worship, everything that you want to do, and assign to each period a fixed and specific function. Be very systematic with your time. This is how to bring out the spiritual blessing, the barakah in each period. What does he tell us? This is how to bring out the spiritual blessing, the barakah, in each period. But if you leave yourself adrift, aimlessly wandering as cattle do, not knowing how to occupy yourself at every moment, your time will be lost. Right? So when you drive by a farm, right, a lot of people are traveling today, this weekend, if you drive by a pasture and you see animals wandering around, what are they doing? Nothing. Right? The cows are just like mooing and, you know, going around, eating some grass here, going under a shade, sitting there for a bit, walking back and forth, maybe talking to one another, laying down again, going to sleep, eating, right? It's aimless wandering, right? So Imam Ghazali rahimahullah is telling us that if we don't put some structure into our lives, into our time, and organize our time in a proper fashion, what are we going to end up being like? The cattle that we drive by, who have no aim, no purpose, you know, they're just killing their time. And this actually goes back to what we discussed last week as well, which is preserving our gains in Ramadan. Right, we talked about that in detail last week. How to protect everything that we have gained in the month of Ramadan. So what can we do to use our time more wisely? Right, and this goes back again to what I said at the end of last week's talk. One temptation or bad habit that we can drop. Because these bad habits, these temptations, what do? They obviously, they do a lot of bad things for us, but one of them is that they're a cause of waste of time. Right? You don't gain anything by following your temptations and desires. You don't gain anything good by doing something that is prohibited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? It's not going to help in any way. Okay? So naturally, it's a waste of time. So to find one temptation, one bad habit, which we got rid of in the month of Ramadan, that we were involved in before Ramadan, that we can continue to drop and to stay away from. Right? And if we do that, that's going to protect us from wasting time. And we increase at least one good habit, right? One act of worship, or something good, or a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Something that we started doing in the month of Ramadan that we can continue doing following Ramadan. And then put this into our schedule. So free up our schedule, you know, from, you know, if you have the habit of spending 2 hours on the internet every night, or perhaps you have no schedule and you just keep sitting on the internet until you get sleepy and you feel like falling asleep, well, okay, put some structure to it, right? Give yourself an hour, or half an hour, or 2 hours, or whatever it is that you need to do your work, and then have some sort of schedule. Use that time to do something good, perhaps to recite Quran, or to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to offer tahajjud salat. You know, a lot of us have trouble waking up for tahajjud, right? In the middle of the night. It's a very hard thing to do, we think. How are we going to get up? We have to get up for fajr. But when it comes to doing other things, we easily stay up late into the morning, right? So if you're having a party, you'll easily stay up till 1 a.m. or 2 a.m., right? If you're doing something on the internet or watching a movie, you'll easily stay up till 1 or 2 a.m., right, on a weekend. So it's all about priorities, right? How can we take away the priority that we've put into doing things that are undesirable, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like, that are a waste of time, perhaps, you know, try to eliminate them altogether. If we can't eliminate them altogether, then at least cut them down and replace them with something that is good. So when we make our schedules, let's try to expand our list of things we have to do. Right? Because only once we start valuing things, right? Once we start assigning value to something, we actually think it's important, that's only when we'll actually try to do it. Right? If you keep thinking, oh, it's not really important, oh, it's okay, you know, it's only a nafil, it's only a sunnah, oh, it's only recommended, it's not something I have to do, you're never going to end up doing it. You're never going to end up doing it because you don't value it. You don't think it's important. So you've got to assign value and assign importance to something, and only then you'll start thinking, okay, this is something I need to do. So for example, we all know, right, when your schedules come into play, you know you have to go to work. Okay? You know you have to go to work. And you can't just wake up every morning and think, okay, today I'll go half an hour late, tomorrow I'll go 2 hours late, okay, today I'll just go 20 minutes early, today I won't go. You can't do that if you're working somewhere. You know that. You know you have to go, otherwise you'll end up getting fired. Okay? So that's something you have to do. If you're a student, you know you have to go to school. All right? If you've paid for classes, you have to go to school. Well, students sometimes, I know, will still even skip classes even if they paid for it, or maybe their parents are paying for them. In any case, you know you're supposed to go to school. You have to go to school, that's something you have to go. People who are very, you know, active and very serious about losing weight or, you know, maintaining their health, they'll know, I have to go to the gym. Right? I have to go to the gym 30 minutes or whatever, an hour or 2 hours every day or every other day, and then they'll do it. Or you'll know that, okay, you have to take your kids for soccer or for martial arts because you signed up for it and you paid for it and now you want them to use that, right? Because you don't want your time, your money going to waste. So you think of it as something important and then you stick to it, right? Or, you know, inshallah, a lot of parents sign the children up for classes here at the masjid. So you know, okay, you have to do this. And then you bring them to the masjid. So this is great. But for the rest of the time, right, for the rest of the time in your 24 hours, don't just leave it open so you just aimlessly end up wasting it away. Right? Don't just leave it open. Rather, add a few have-tos. Think of a few things that you can add that you consider important that you have to do. Right? So you tell yourself, okay, every day, just as I have to go to work, just as I have to go to school or take my kids to soccer or do this and do that, I also have to read some Quran. This is important for me. I have to do this. Okay? And then you put some time for reciting the Quran. Or you tell yourself, okay, I have to do some dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I've mentioned this before many times, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, being the Prophet of Allah, right, having his sins forgiven, being innocent, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guaranteeing him Jannah, yet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would still seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 70 times, 100 times a day. Right? And remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right, so dhikr is also very important for us. Seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, very important. How much time can we assign for that? Right? Can we set 5 minutes, 10 minutes, half an hour for doing that? Right? You tell yourself, yes, I have to go for Aisha to pray in the masjid. Or I have to go for Fajr prayer. And you make that something important, and then you schedule it into your time if it's possible. You tell yourself, okay, I have to pray the Hajjud prayers at night. I have to stand up at night and pray and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for everything He has given me. Right? Perhaps not every night, if you have to go to work, and if it's difficult, perhaps on the weekends, perhaps once a week. Right? So figure out some things that you can include into your schedule. Think of them as being important. Consider them valuable. And then make some time for them and then stick to it. Right? Even if these things are small. Right? Even if these things are small, that's good. It's much better to do something which is small and consistent and continuous than to do something huge, than to take upon yourself something dramatic, which you do only for a day or two and then you drop it. Right? So this principle is that something small yet consistent is much better than something that is big but that is short-lived. Aisha radiallahu anha says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أحب الأعمال إلى الله تعالى أدومها وإن قل. Aisha radiallahu anha reported, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the acts most pleasing to Allah are those which are done continuously, even if they are small. And it said that when Aisha radiallahu anha did any act, she did it continuously. Right? After hearing this from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Aisha radiallahu anha wanted to do an act, start doing something good, she would do it continuously. She wouldn't just start and then just let it go. Okay? So the point is, try to add something good into your schedule. Try to use your time wisely. Even if it's small, add something and do it and try to do it continuously. So that we ensure that we use as much time as possible as a profitable investment, not as a loss, not as a waste. Now the other thing I want to mention briefly is when we go back to school, especially for my young friends, right? So when you go back to school, and for adults as well, when you go back to work, you know, these days, I know it's not the most popular thing to be a Muslim, always, right? There's misinformation about Islam. This misinformation is at a high. Those who have hatred of Islam in their hearts are working tirelessly to spread hate and to stoke the flames of intolerance. And you might witness some of this intolerance from time to time. If you haven't done so yet, alhamdulillah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. But we can't bury our heads in the sand and just think that everything is fine and dandy and that there's no problem out there. Yes, there is. There are people who have hatred. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about people who have hatred for Islam in their hearts. And we see from the example of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well and his companions radiallahu anhum, who suffered a lot at the hands of people who hated Islam and who hated Muslims, right? And we gain strength. We gain strength from these examples. And, you know, and a lot of our youngsters have learned this in our classes, right? How the Muslims were persecuted, how the Muslims were tortured, yet they were still steadfast in their faith. They never gave up their faith, and they were never ashamed to be Muslims. Even in the face of adversity, even in the face of torture, even in the face of hate, they were not ashamed to be Muslims. We also get tremendous encouragement from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when He tells us, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Verily those who say, our Lord is Allah, and then they stand firm. They don't shy away from this declaration. They're not ashamed of this declaration. They say, our Lord is Allah, and then they are steadfast. They stand firm. تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوَعَدُونَ. On them the angels will descend saying, fear not, grieve not, but receive the glad tidings of paradise which you have been promised. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us encouragement through difficult times, right? Through times when you are tempted to move away from your faith, times when you are tempted to disown your faith, or times when you are ashamed, right? You might feel ashamed of calling yourself a Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, encouraging us not to do that. And the angels say, نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاءُكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. We have been your friends in the worldly life and will remain as such in the hereafter. That's huge. That's pretty impressive, right? To have friends, right? To have friends who are angels in this world and in the hereafter. And they go on to say, and for you here is whatever your soul desires, meaning in paradise. And for here is whatever you call for, a gift of welcome from the most forgiving, the very merciful. So if you want that from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you want the angels to be your friends in this world and in the hereafter, right? When angels are your friends, right? That's a great thing. Because the angels are the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, engaged in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, carrying out the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a source of protection, a source of blessing. So if these are our friends, then that is a great thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to say, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Who is better in speech? Who is better in speech than the one who calls to Allah, works righteously, does good deeds, and says, I am one of the Muslims. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is encouraging us, don't be ashamed of being a Muslim. Say, yes, I am one of the Muslims, and I have nothing to be ashamed of. Rather, I am proud, I am happy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am thankful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made me a Muslim. It is not something to be ashamed of to be a Muslim. It is not something to be ashamed of to be called Muhammad, so that you have to change it to Mo. No, you keep it Muhammad. Okay, it's nothing to be ashamed of. There's nothing to be ashamed of to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's nothing to be ashamed of to believe in every single word of the Qur'an. There is nothing to be ashamed of to believe in every single teaching of the beloved Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if there is any shame associated to it, you gain rewards by standing up against that shame. You gain rewards by standing up and being steadfast in your faith and telling people that, yes, I am a Muslim and I have nothing to be ashamed of. As I mentioned at Eid, when we go to school and when we go to work, when we interact with people, we are ambassadors for our community and for Islam. Right? You're not just Zainab, you're not just Fatima, you're just not Abdullah, you're just not Muhammad. You are ambassadors for Islam and you're ambassadors for the Muslim community. And an ambassador is confident. An ambassador is confident and even proud of what he stands for. Right? Ambassador doesn't go around hiding, right? Not telling people who he or she represents. Right? An ambassador is confident. So don't be ashamed of being a Muslim. Be known as a Muslim, educate people about Islam, and if you have trouble explaining something, if you don't know how to explain something, then seek help. You know, one of the advantages of living in a diverse, in a multicultural society is that people are used to hearing about different practices, right? So if you are afraid of how to explain that you can't eat certain foods when you go to someone's house or at a party or at some function, others also have food restrictions. Muslims are not the only ones who don't eat everything that's out there. Right? There are other people, other faiths, so people who don't even have faith, who put upon dietary restrictions upon themselves. Right? If you don't know how to explain your holidays, well, others have other holidays as well that are not celebrated publicly, that are not statutory holidays. If you are not sure about your prayers, then there are others as well who offer prayers that are different from what people here are used to. If you are afraid about your dress, or if you're not confident about your dress, well, know that there are others as well who dress differently, or who have different practices when it comes to their dress. So there's nothing to be ashamed of. Stand firm in your faith as much as possible. What I've learned growing up here, being born here and being raised here, and what I've been taught by my father and my parents, my mother as well, is don't be afraid of being different. Don't be afraid of being different. I've been different from the group I've been in since I was a kid, right? Since I went to school. And there was nothing to be afraid of in being different. And if there are any differences in the beginning, the first day of school, when you go in a new class, or if you go to university and you're wearing the hijab, for example, right? People may be a bit reluctant. They don't know what to expect from you, right? They might have stereotypes. So when people see me, they see a guy with a big bushy beard, right, wearing a cap, and these are images they see on TV and they don't associate with the best thoughts, right? But there's a way of overcoming these challenges. And you overcome these, especially if you get to know people over a prolonged period of time, you overcome all of this by your excellent character. You overcome this with good moral conduct. You reach out to people, you be kind to people. You be different in a good way, and over time people realize, hey, this person is actually better than us when it comes to character. And then you become a leader, right? And you become a person that people turn to for help. You become a person who gives good advice to people. You become a person which thinks good about people, doesn't badmouth anyone, doesn't lie about anyone, doesn't backbite about anyone, right? And offers a supporting hand. And when you do that to people, then what you look like, what you believe in, doesn't matter to them. Rather, they want to know more about what you believe in. And they say, well, really? Is that right? Is that how you pray? You pray 5 times a day? Oh, you've memorized parts of the Quran? Wow, tell us more about that. And that's your opportunity to educate them about Islam. So don't be ashamed. Rather, stand up as a Muslim with the excellence in your character, and you reach out to people, you build good relations with people that way, and make that a means of educating them about Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to preserve our gains in Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the opportunity to use our time wisely. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to shed our bad habits and our temptations and become habitual in greater acts of worship and acts of goodness.